Om sahana bhavatu,
sahana punaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavatitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Advaita Makaranda. Makaranda means the honey of a flower, the nectar of a flower. So here it's the nectar of Advaita. And Swamiji just by chance found this book somewhere in Rishikesh, I think at a bookstore. This kind of abused bookstore, just in a pile of books. He found it and he started reading. Wow, this is so beautiful.
Wow.
You know, and then he himself started teaching it and realized really that every verse in a sense is like a prakriya. There's so much teaching methodology in each verse, and that's why we're taking it to learn each one of these verses. And I'm going to actually not necessarily try to finish a verse in one class, but I'm going to try to give the different teaching methodologies that are involved in unfolding each verse. That's kind of our intent here, plus learning the verses.
And who wrote this?
Lakshmi Datta is his name. So you can read the commentary for those type of things. I think that Lakshmi Dara Kavi. Tejo Mayananda gives a nice commentary, pretty nice commentary on this. So.
Yeah. Orissa.
Okay, so let's go into the first verse, which is a prayer verse. Okay. I'll chant it first, and then we'll go through and then. Kataksha kirana chanta naman mohabdhiye namaha anantananda krishnaya jagan mangala murtiye kataksha kirana chanta kataksha kirana chanta naman mohabdhiye namaha
naman mohabdhiye namaha
anantananda krishnaya
anantananda krishnaya
jagan mangala murtaye
jagan mangala murtaye.
So we'll practice it after I do the Sunday and the meeting, then we'll practice this word by word. I'm going to just, let me do the Sunday first. Kataksha 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 kirana kirana achanta naman moha abdiye. Oh, Sandy, typo. Darn it. That should be a small ba abdiye. Let's see if you go to the abdi. I think it's not. It's abdi, not abdi. Let's just see. Sorry, I've read for this so many times. So.
Oh, yeah.
Abdiye. You see the ba? There should be, if you go to the first, the beginning of, in here, it's abdiye, ab. So that there should be a ba, like a circle with a line through it. Mm-hmm. Abdiye before the abdiye.
Okay. Well, left out.
Yeah, I'll fix it. But you have, from this little package, you'll have to just stick it in there. So, kataksha, kirana, achanta, naman, moha, abhye, namaha, ananta, ananda, krishnaya, jagan, mangala, Murtiye. The jagan would be jagat. Mm-hmm. Becomes na because of the ma. Jagat mangala murtiye. Okay. So, this is a prayer verse. Notice the namaha, salutations or prostrations, and everything else is in a dative. Mm-hmm. We have three compounds. The first, on the first line before the Namaha, is one compound. Then Anantananda Krishnaya, another compound. Jagan Mangalamurtiye. So it goes, let's take the last line first with the namas. Salutations to Anantananda Krishnaya, to Krishna, to the Lord Krishna. Here, for Lakshmidatta, Krishna must be his Ishtadevata. So the Lord Krishna. Krishna, in one etymology, is Karashati, the one who attracts everything to himself. So to Krishna, who, because Ananda, to Krishna, who, the one who attracts everything to himself. So Krishna is, of course, Deva. That Lord is, the Krishna, is Ananda. His fullness is the Satchitananda. Is fullness is that which we seek, in fact. So the Lord Krishna attracts everything to him. Being Ananda, that which, the fullness that we all seek, the Ananda, it's not the Ananda of samsara, right? The happiness that we seek in samsara is subject to coming and going, but this Ananda is Ananta. It is limitless. It is without end, okay? So Ananta, Anta means end, Ananta, without end. So you can say infinite. When we say infinite, as long as sometimes when we say param, but with infinite or without end, Swamiji will often bring in this desha kala vastu aparichedaha. That which is limitless in reference to desha, in reference to place, means within samsara, I'm in one place, you're in another. I'm not the one who is all places. All places and therefore free of place. I'm not situated in any given place. So I'm, in fact, free of place, free of desha, because I am, but I'm not limited by desha. So I'm ananta in reference to desha, in reference to place. Kala. Within samsara, kala, time, time is really the marking of change. So within samsara, there isn't ananta, timeless time. You know, I mean, there isn't limitless time. There's limitless change, endless change. We'd say endless change. But here, in desha kala aparicheda, the Lord has no limitation in terms of time, right? So there's no, in terms of the ananda, Krishna as ananda, right? There's no beginning to the ananda, nor is there any end to the ananda. So it's the ananda that is kala aparicheda. Aparicheda means not, can't be subscribed by or limited or bordered off by time. With time, we always think of past, present, and future. Ananta Ananda has no past, present, or future. It is the eternal or timeless presence. Right? That's the Ananta. So it's timeless presence, not bordered by past, present, or future. So that's the kala. Vastu means within samsara, everything we have objects. A vastu is an object. So when we use the word relatively within samsara, this is a vastu, this is a vastu, that is a vastu, the cup is a vastu. Any object is a vastu, right? Anything is a vastu. And one thing, because it is a thing, is limited by all of the things that it isn't, right? Because it's only a cup, it's not a table, right? And so the vastu, any vastu within the creation is limited by the thingness that it is, right? Then, of course, if we were to analyze, which we're not now, we're just using vastu in terms of, we're using desha in terms of space within samsara, kala in terms of time within samsara, vastu in terms of all of the objects in the creation within samsara. One object is limited by all the objects that it is not, and it's limited by its own thingness. A cup is not a table, etc. And so this is, for Bhagavan, vastu aparicheda, the unnegates. It's not limited by the thingness, by objectness within the creation.
So that means it's a subject?
Well, we're just talking about what it's not. In reference to what it's not limited by. So if something is not limited by time or not limited by space, or not limited by any objectification, it actually can't be an object within the creation. And so what is left is the nature of the subject. But even to say that, what is left is the nature of the subject. That subject has to already have been differentiated from anything which can be limited by time, space, or object. Body. Subject to time, subject to space. My body is here, not there. Subject to time, subject to space. Subject to objectness. This body is not that body. Right? So this is can't be the subject. Right? If we're making that type of division. So this is not ananta. Right? This is not limitless. Same with your mind, same with your sense organs, same with the ahankara, right? Same with mood, same with emotions, same with role in life, you know? Same with the very coming into the birth and death of the physical body and the birth and death of everything that you experience. And so when you say the only thing left over is the subject, those are nice words and true.
Yeah.
But for a student, you can't just say that. Oh, you know, all of these things are objectified, and so what isn't objectified is you. But then you have to remember that your body is objectified, your sense organs are objectified. Everything that you've taken to be you is actually belongs to samsara, belongs to the manifest creation. So here, all of that subject-object, you can never say until you start in the teaching methodology, you start with subject-object, because that's where we all start. When you come to the teacher, you're the subject, everything else is the object. You start with that. But what has to happen in that unfoldment is that what you have taken to actually be the subject, you have to recognize is in fact the object. Like just like when we use the drik drisha, your sense organs perceive the world, but they also perceive the body. Without your sense organs, this body would be unknown. Remove one sense organ. And that's something that Swamiji will all do in that drik drisha. Remove one sense organ at a time, and it's not only this world that goes from your experience, the physical body goes from your experience also. You know? So we use a lot of prakriyas for unfolding this. Those prakriyas we'll get into as these verses unfold. I'll go into depth into each one of these prakriyas. But for now, my salutations to the Lord Krishna, who for Lakshmidara says Ishadevata, the one who attracts everything to him, which is an appropriate definition for Krishna in terms of the Ananta Ananda, the one whose Ananda is Desha Kalavastu Aparichedaha, not limited by anything within the manifest creation, limitless. So limitless Ananda, limitless fullness. Another thing is that always for these Prakarana Granthas, there's always a prayer. If the prayer isn't in the text, like the first one or two verses of the text, we have to assume that the Acharya did it mentally. There's a lot of, even Bhashyas written on this. For instance, if you, like in the Hastamalakya, there's not Bhashya in those verses. There's not an obvious prayer as the first verse. And so Shankara writes in his commentary, it's not that he didn't make a prayer. The prayer was made mentally. If it's not found in the verse, then if he is a traditional teacher, we have to assume that he made that prayer mentally. And the prayer will be to the Lord, and usually to the Lord and to the teacher, to the Sampradaya. And so here, Ananta Ananda, I got this actually from Tejo Mayananda, I didn't know this. Ananta Ananda was the name of Lakshmidara's guru. And so in this one, Ananta Ananda Krishnaya, he not only evokes his Ishtadevata, but also in a very subtle way, his teacher. Yeah. Nice. Isn't that nice?
That's sweet.
And also it's perfect, and because that is Krishna, especially Ananda, you know. Mm-hmm. And Ananda is what attracts, you know, everyone. Mm-hmm. So, but this Ananda is limitless. It's not subject to time or place, you know. Place or any type of an object. So that means that it's not about ananda from this or ananda from this or ananda from this or an ananda that can come and go. It's the ananda which is the very swarupa, the very nature of the self. So he starts out, my salutations to the Lord Krishna, who is Anandananda, which is also my teacher.
Is it a rule that these prayers have to start in any text? Is that?
It's a tradition. It's part of the tradition. Mm. You always say a prayer.
Why?
Just part of the tradition. Okay. I think if you think about it emotionally, you would understand why.
Yeah.
So then, just do the next one. Jagan Mangala Murtiye. Now here, my salutations to the Lord, who is Anantananda, who's very Murti. Murti means the very Swarupa, who's, you can, they're very formed. Because remember, Krishna also was an avatar. You know, Krishna took a body, an avatar comes into the creation in order to help, in order to bless the world. And so here, the one whose form is auspicious for the world, for all beings. Jagat means the world. You can, in the etymology from the Sanskrit Bhasha, Jagatam Mangala Akritihi, means the one whose form is a blessing. Mangala means that which blesses, that which is auspicious for all beings, Jagatam. Because Jagatam is in the plural. For all the worlds means for all the beings. So the one who's very, very Murti, whose very form is meant to bless all beings. So it starts out with a prayer. To the Lord, who is Anantananda, and his guru is embedded in there because of the Anantananda. Then Jagan Mangala Murtiye, the one whose form is a blessing to the world. So now this very long compound at the top. Let's take it word for word. Kataksha means the corner of the eye, a glance. Like say I'm looking like this, I'm looking over at Penny. I'm seeing her from the corner of my eye. So kataksha, kataksha means eye. Mm-hmm. So from the corner of my eye, glance, it's like a sideways glance. If you look it up in the dictionary, it would be like a sideways glance. Swamiji always says like a glance from the corner of the eye, kataksha. Kidana means a ray of light. So, means that's the ray of light stands for the glance, you know, the conscious seeing. So a glance, you would say, a glance, kirana, means a ray of light from the corner of his eye. Kitaksha, kirana. Achanta means, it actually, even though in the Bhasha they'll say shoshita, which means to dry up, it actually means to to suck up or lick up, like if you were to, like a honeybee would lick all of the nectar out of the plant, would swallow it, would take it into it himself. But the idea is to dry up, to take in all of it, okay? Achanta. Naman is a present participle, and it means all part of the compound. It means surrendering, those who are surrendered, those who have surrendered, those who are surrendering. Moha, we have to read this, make sense of this after we get all of the words. Moha means delusion, or ajnanam, the ajnanam which brings about all of the delusion. Abdi is ocean. So mohabdi is in the dative. So this goes...
What was the second word?
Abdi, A-B-D-H. That's why you have to add that. I've got a typo there.
Well, what does it mean?
Ocean. Ocean. So Abdiye, like Hariye, is in the dative, right? So Namaha, salutations to the one by whom, this is a tadita. This is a Bahuvri compound, so it becomes a name for the Lord. So the one by whom the Mohabdi, the ocean of samsara, the ocean of delusion, for those who are surrendered, have surrendered, for the ones who are prostrating, means for the ones who, for whom the Krishna, or the teacher, right, is, they are devotees, right? They have surrendered, for those who have surrendered, the ocean, by whom the ocean of samsara, for those who have surrendered, achanta, is dried up. by the glance from the corner of his eye.
Whoa.
By a glance. So he would say like this.
Mm-hmm.
By even the slightest glance out of the corner of his eye from Bhagavan, that is enough to dry up this ocean of samsara, this ocean of delusion, right, for those who have surrendered to the Lord. I mean, I think it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
So for those for whom the ocean of delusion, the whole samsara, right, the one by whom this whole ocean of samsara is dried up by the mere glance of his eye, out of the corner of his eye, for his devotees, for those who are devoted. You see it? Any questions on this? Because we're going to chant it for a while. Om Katak, so repeat after me. Om Katak Shakirana Chanta. Om Katak Shakirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdhaye Namaha. Naman Mohabdhaye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtaye. Jagan Mangala Murtaye. Together. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdhaye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtaye. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdhaye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtaye. Kataksha Kirana Chanta. Naman Mohabdhaye Namaha. Anantananda Krishnaya. Jagan Mangala Murtaye. Ahamasmi Sadabhami. Ahamasmi Sadabhami. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Brahmaivahamatasiddham. Brahmaivahamatasiddham. Sachidananda Lakshanam. Sachidananda Lakshanam. Ahamasmi Sadabhami. Ahamasmi Sadabhami. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Kadachinnahamapriyaha. Brahmaivahamatasiddham. Brahmaivahamatasiddham. Sachidananda Lakshanam. Sachidananda Lakshanam. Aham Asmi Sada Bhami Kadachit Na Aham Apriyaha. Brahma Eva Aham Ataha Siddham Sat Chit Ananda Lakshanam. We'll just work on the translation of this and then maybe call it a day. Ahamasmi, I am Sada, I always am. Means Nitya. Ahamasmi Sada, I always am. Then Bhami, I always, so then you go like this. Aham asmi sada, I am always. Then aham sada bhami, I always shine, chit. I always am, I always shine. As consciousness, right? So aham asmi sada, I always am. Aham sada bhami, I always shine. Kadachit na aham apriyaha. Na kadachit, never at any time. Remember, if we take an indefinite, like kada means when, kadachit means whenever. Na kadachit, when you negate an indefinite article or word like this, it makes it an absolute negative. So kadachit na means never at any time. So you've got kada when, kadachit whenever, kadachit na, never. Okay? That's important to know, the negation of an indefinite like that. So never aham apriyaha. Never am I. Apriya means to myself. Never am I not beloved to myself. Right? So I always am. I always shine. Never am I apriya. Means I am always the most dear to myself. Okay, so now, well, let's do the, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about how to unfold all of these.
Myself implied in the apriya.
I am apriya. Aham apriya. So what that literally says, say if I were to say, aham priyaha, I am beloved. You say, aham apriyaha, means I am apriyaha, I am never. Aham na apriyaha.
Right, but...
I am not unbeloved.
But it, where is the to myself implied?
It's understood.
Okay.
Yeah. You'll see in the unfoldment.
Is that really true?
Yes. These are very important unfoldment to see that even that I am always the most sought after, the most dear. Apriyaha means the most. Priyaha means the most dear. I am never not the most dear. I am never not beloved. I am the one for whom everything is done. Right. So all that I do, everything that I'm engaged in, is for the sake of myself. So I am the one who is the most dear. Even in the Brihadaranyaka, where they're talking about. To Gargi, I forget the name of the sage who was talking to Gargi, who was saying, you know, you think that your son is beloved, but you love your son for your own sake. And then goes to your wealth, your husband, your children, your everything is always for the sake of the soul. So in fact, where it's most dear is the Atma. That's in the Brihadaranyaka.
And there's one of the Upanishads we studied, I forget which one, says something like, and it's the one you keep bringing these gifts to that one. Remember? It's when you offer everything to, it's when you keep bringing gifts to.
I don't remember, but you can find it in
Mandaka.
I don't remember offhand. So anyway, Ahamasmi Sada, I am. And I always am, I always shine. And never am I a Priyaha, not the most dear, not beloved. Brahma, in fact, for Kiki, in fact, we're referring to the nature of the self, but then in the end you recognize that even in reference to all objects, what is beloved is the Atma. You think it's the self because of superimposition, but always what is the most beloved, even for an Ajnani, is the Atma, because it's the Atma Swarupa that's on
it. Right. No, I wasn't sure in Sanskrit if the to myself is there, but yeah.
Brahma eva aham ataha. Ataha, therefore, Brahma eva aham. I am Brahman alone, therefore, siddham is established. Brahma eva aham. I am Brahman alone. Brahma eva aham. I am indeed Brahman. I am Brahman alone. Ataha, therefore, siddham is established. Satchidananda lakshanam. So you go like this. Therefore, ataha, I am Brahman. Then Satchidananda Lakshana, whose nature, whose Lakshana. Lakshana, besides meaning implied meaning, Lakshana also means the definition which is specific only to that thing. Mm. Like, for instance, if I were to say this chair is black, black is an adjective of the chair, right? But there's a lot of things that are black, right? So black isn't a Lakshana for the chair. It doesn't denote chair. If you were to have a definition of the chair, only chair, that definition could only fit chair. I can't actually think of what that would be, but just understand lakshana. So lakshana means a definition which is specific only to that thing. And so Satchit Ananda is the lakshana for Brahman. Right? It is the specific a definition of Brahman alone. And so now if you look at this, it says Brahma, Brahman, whose lakshana is Satchidananda, is established. That I am that Brahman, which is Satchidananda, is established. Why? Because I always am, there's the Sat, I always shine, there's the Chit, and I am never not dear, there's the Ananda. And so since I am that, and that is the lakshana of Brahman, lakshana means the definition which is true only to that thing, therefore I must be Brahman. understand?
Yeah. What was that, therefore?
Therefore, I must be Brahman. I am Brahman.
Why?
Because I am the lakshana of Brahman, which is Satchit Ananda. I am that. Because I always am. I'm always consciousness.
Oh, okay.
And I'm never not dear.
Yeah, Tippy just came in. Going to the kitchen.
Okay.
So in other words, he's giving kind of a definition of Satchit Ananda. It's like specifically.
He's giving a definition of Brahman. The lakshana for Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda.
Right.
Okay. Now, if I am always am, I am Sat.
Right.
If I always am consciousness, I am Chit. You know? If I always am Ananda, Apriyaha, I am Ananda. Huh. Since I am that, and that is the lakshana of Brahman, I must be Brahman.
Wow.
Because Sat Chit Ananda is all it for it to be a lakshana. Means it can only be referring to that, not something else.
Mm.
If it could refer to something else, it could be a definition of Brahman and other things.
Mm.
It's not a lakshana.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, this understanding is if we were had a chance, we did the Taittiriya, but we didn't do the Taittiriya bhasha on Satyam Jnanam Anantam.
Mm.
This is the main topic of that, of Shankara's unfoldment of Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahman, the Taittiriya.
Mm.
This understanding of lakshana is the main topic of that lengthy bhasha.
And this is what's called the swarupa lakshana, isn't it?
Yes, it's swarupa lakshana.
Yes.
That's right. Tatastha lakshana is where the definition points to. Tatastha lakshana points to, like if we an example of the tatastha lakshana is the one from whom the creation comes, is sustained and resolves. That's not a swarupa lakshana of Brahman, but that points to the one who is there, from which, right? There's nobody else from whom the creation comes, right? It's sustained and resolves. But the creation is not the swarupa of Brahman, right? But still, it's a lakshana, in the sense that there's nobody else from whom the whole creation comes, is sustained and resolved. But it itself is not defining the very swarupa, the very nature of Brahman. So Satchit Ananda is swarupa lakshana.
So I thought I heard Swamiji say once that the creation itself is the tatastha lakshana of Brahman. And it's actually enough. If you understand that, you get it.
I would have to see the context in which he says that, because it is enough in the Satyam Mitya if you can recognize from that the Satchit Ananda, Brahman.
Yeah,
but if you're recognizing Brahman from that, you're recognizing the Swarupa Lakshana.
Right.
If you recognize Brahman, you are recognizing the Swarupa Lakshana, because the Swarupa Lakshana is Brahman.
And see, I thought he meant that because in the Tatastha Lakshana, in the creation, it is, it's known, and it's limitless.
There. That is discovering.
Yeah.
Brahman as the Satyam within the Mitya.
Right.
But even when you say that, you're now defining the Swarupa Lakshana.
That's true.
I just had a quick Sanskrit question. Just when you say Brahma Eva Aham Ataha, can that literally also be translated as I alone am Brahma as opposed to I am Brahma alone? Or is the position of the Eva what determines what that is?
No, you could probably do it either way, but say normally, that doesn't have to be, but normally the Eva will come after the word that it's referring to, not before.
And so
but within a verse, you know, you have to know in the context what it's meant.
So it's contextual.
So there's two definitions. There's one that points, and then there's the other that actually describes.
Yeah. The example we use for Tatastha Lakshana is, say if you're looking down a row of houses, this is one Swamiji commonly uses, all the houses look pretty much the same, but on the top of the chimney of one of the houses is a bird. So what if you say, my house is that house that has the bird on it? The bird is Tatastha Lakshana. It's because of the bird I recognize my house.
Okay, that's the pointer.
That's the pointer. If I say, my house, you know, is the house that has, you know, the red porch. And I do a description of the house that differentiates it that house from all the other houses, then that's going to be more like the Swarupa Lakshana, because I'm actually describing the house, mm-hmm. as opposed to describing something that that's tangential to the house, but which allows me to recognize the house.
Yeah. So how would that work in terms of women?
Well, Maya, the creation, mm-hmm. is mitya. Mm-hmm. Brahman is satyam. Mm-hmm. And so say you're just describing the cyclical nature of mitya, of the Maya. Mm. But the Maya is not ever away from the satyam. But what you're describing is the creation, the cyclical nature of the creation that that manifests, is sustained, and resolves. Mm. So you're using that to point to the satyam.
Yeah.
Right? By describing the describing the creation, which is mitya, which is Maya, which is mitya, you're using that to point to that which is the truth of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
That's
see?
Me.
You don't see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not exactly. No.
Tell me what I'm saying.
Okay, because my mind is wandering. You say something and it makes me think about something else and stuff.
Okay. You could ask me later because we're going to stop now and this.
Oh.
Because what I want, each one of these, like the Ahamasmi Siddha, Prakriya. The Ahambani Siddha Prakriya. Mm. The Kadachin Apriya Prakriya. Each one of these is a Prakriya. Mm. So that I want to kind of elaborately go through each one.
Okay.
So let's start there. Purnamidah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.